now when I think about her, I don't even get upset anymore. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it made me feel
good. You had compassion.
I was able to raise, whatever the word is, compassion in myself. It's not just mm-hmm. love. Compassion is a form of love, but mm-hmm. when you just talk about love, mm-hmm. sometimes compassion doesn't get recognized that it's a form of it. Mm-hmm. And I needed to recognize that before I could really feel it.
You took a moment to understand what she was going through.
Right.
And by putting yourself aside and looking at her, you joined with her. And you said, you looked at what she was going through. And this is the essence of compassion, is understanding.
Yeah.
You don't have to agree with her, but...
No, I don't still agree with her, but yeah. I don't care anymore.
Yeah. But to understand is to join. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Anyway, I just wanted... It was like, I'm absolutely right. If I'm not doing something the way the Holy Spirit is wanting me to do it, I'm not going to feel good. And that's my way of saying, am I doing this correctly or not? And the answer is yes or no, mm-hmm. depending on how I feel.
Yeah, so forgiveness, as you work your way through this world and becoming a peaceful person, forgiveness has to start that way. It has to start with ending the fight or not defending yourself. And the only way you're going to do that is by looking at the other person's perspective. Would you blame yourself for doing this? Put yourself in their shoes, put yourself in their actions, and understand what they're doing.
When my clients ask me, what do you think they did that for? And I say, well, I can come up with about 5 different reasons, but unless I was talking to them, I probably wouldn't have a clue.
Yeah. And so you find out that you're making it up.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if it makes you feel better, it's worth it.
Mm-hmm.
But then as you do your coursework, you start to find out that there is another type of forgiveness that's even more
powerful.
Well,
that was the problem. Somewhere before I got to this lesson, it said, you don't understand how to do forgiveness yet, but do this anyway.
Yeah, yeah.
Right. So I was struggling with, well, if I don't know the way that the book is going to teach me, what can I do instead? And then I thought, well, I'll go by my therapist.
Yeah.
Way of doing it and yeah. see how that works.
Always, 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 whatever brings you to peace is the antidote. If it can bring you to laughter, you've really found an antidote. But always, no matter, that is the highest you can reach at any time in a chaotic situation, is to come to peace or joy, laughter, release. Because the other, anything other than that is to continue to build the problem. So it's very binary. Okay, so you reach as high as you can, and the Holy Spirit will help you do just that, what you did. Will continue to meet you and bring you to new understandings of forgiveness that are even farther reaching. Because they're working not with her, they'll work with you. You won't even have to know her story or come up with a story of why she did what she did. As you learn to do the release forgiveness that the Course in Miracles teaches at its highest level.
Okay, well, I can hardly wait.
Because it's, yeah, and you'll love it because it's super universal.
Well, what is it?
Good question.
You got your lesson 365.
Why wait?
Walt, do you know what the Course in Miracles forgiveness is? You feel like teaching us?
Nothing really happened.
It's basically, it's an illusion, so why get upset about it? Is that it, what you're saying?
Yeah, that, and there's no one's out there. What you see is a reflection of what you're thinking.
Mm-hmm.
So, mm-hmm. What's there to forgive besides your thoughts?
How I'm thinking.
Mm-hmm. So you're not forgiving something out there.
There's nothing out there. It's all coming from, you know, mm-hmm. here and being reflected back.
Uh-huh.
Okay. That's just one way of
yep.
visualizing.
Yep. So, of course, in miracles, you never forgive anything outside of you.
Well, that's why in earlier lessons it says
thanks.
The only person you need to forgive is yourself.
Yeah. Because of what Walt just said. That's right. And the other one says God does not forgive.
because he doesn't condemn.
Because he doesn't. Never.
I already got to that.
Good.
Already.
Good job.
But I already knew that one before.
Oh, you did.
I've said that for years to my friends and clients. I also said to one of my clients, not this week sometime, if you're not laughing about something, probably you're still bothering you.
Yeah, right? Right? Now, those are fighting words until you understand what A Course in Miracles is teaching. And in fact, they're kind of silly. It didn't. What do you mean it didn't happen? I can show you the hospital bills that I'm still paying because of this SOB backed their car right into me. What do you mean it didn't happen? They throw the book out. All right, as a lot of people will be studying Course in Miracles, and then we'll touch their heart and their mind, and then something happens too early, and they try to, they argue with the book, and they throw the book out, and they stay with the world, naturally, right? Because the ego speaks first and loudest. And you're not forgiving that. And the Course says that. It says you can't forgive something you think is real. You can't. And the world and the ego, and the definition from the dictionary says you can, well, of course, you only have to forgive things that are real. You know, real to the ego means you're losing from an outside source. Somebody's coming to take something from you, and you're not going to punish them for it. That's the world's forgiveness. Yes.
So, I've been on less than 82, The Light of the World brings peace to every mind through my forgiveness, and that forgiveness is our only function. And my understanding of forgiveness is basically to, like, set it aside, to look past it, like it didn't really happen, it's not what's real and what's true. Mm-hmm. And so the way that I've been making that work for me, and it has been giving me huge amounts of peace, is I feel like I'm, like, living in, like, two alternate realities at the same time. And, like, one is real and one is the illusion. And I just have to, like, keep, like, driving myself back in my mind to what's real. And I was thinking about it today because I read this now every morning, and I listen to my lesson spoken on YouTube and all throughout the day, probably several hours. And I feel like it's like learning a new language, like, because until you start really, like, thinking in a new language, it's hard to learn it. So I'm kind of, like, getting more and more exposure. So I have, like, these two parallel worlds, and when something happens in the illusion, I just have to, like, remind myself, oh, that's just that, and then point myself back to, like, the real world. And that's been, like, working for me, and it just gives me this huge sense of peace, because I'm, like, this is the one that really matters. This one's happening, too, but it doesn't really matter.
Right.
Yeah. Okay.
That's absolutely right.
Okay.
That's really good. Because what you're doing is you're turning yourself over to your Holy Spirit. You're saying, instead of fighting this world, let me turn myself to my spiritual essence and let me see past it and see through it. Even as I duck or steer my car around the problem, or what do you have to do in the world for the body, you still do for the body. But then right away, as soon as possible, even during that, when you get good at it, you're having the Holy Spirit talk you through it.
Yeah.
He's keeping your peace. So that he says, that's it. What you're doing, that's how you do it, is that you do not deny your body. Can we read that tonight? Yeah, we can read that tonight as part of our teaching. Don't deny your body. Look, that's a really bad use of your mind. Because you believe your body is real. That would be a very bad use of denial. Because you would be denying the very power we're going to use to save you. If you tried to say your body was not real. Now, I make a distinction between real and true. You have a real body, but it's not true you. Movies are real, but they're not true. For that reason, just as you described, you look at it, oh, there's that situation. But you know what? There's another way to look at it and me. And it lifts you right out of the mud. And what else do you want? That's it. So you are training yourself like you're training a muscle to release victimization of the world. And you are becoming the light of the world. Literally. Just like that.
Yeah, that's so cool. I'm totally starting to get it. It's kind of like amazing. And then I realize like how me thinking that way brings light to everyone else, because it's like how much benefit like my family members and people, when I see them as they really are, that feels like good to be seen.
Yes.
For who you really are.
Yeah.
Rather than for what you're doing or murdering people or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so that's how just like us thinking that way impacts everybody.
Exactly. There is one mind, and that you share with God in truth, and now you will bring it even into this illusion. And the light, it's like turning a light on. Everything gets lighter. Good job. That's what we're doing. Nicely done. Okay, so let's take a moment to think about life. Life. Everybody here alive? Yeah, everybody here sitting up alive. Let's just take a few moments to just think about that concept of life. What role is life playing for you right now? So what is life? Pick an understanding for yourself as we dive into this question of what role life is providing for you right now. As we dive into that, let's back up a little bit and just get a sense of, you know, what is life? And if you are alive, you must have witnessed life quite a bit. So you can just pick an aspect of what continues to prove to yourself that you're alive. You could use that to find a definition of life, because that would be you witnessing here in a body, if you like. So pick something that life makes you do, or how life keeps showing up proving to you that you're alive. Let that be your definition of life for a little while here. And now, with that in mind, as life, what role is life playing for you right now? What is it doing for you in the big picture? Was that easy?
No.
Oh, that's some work, isn't it? Good for a small class. You are living. You are alive. So you are a direct witness. You are an expert, actually. You have been performing alive your whole life.
Wait a minute. That was a tricky way of putting it. Performing.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
first time we have, so we're in a small group, right? So we're going to do both questions now. First question we're going to have, and if you haven't come up with a second one with the answer, which is what role does it play for you in the big picture, okay? And then maybe you will after we finish describing life.
So we're going to go around twice.
Okay? And the first question is, What, pick something that life makes you do, or that you do, or how you witness being alive and witness life working as you in your body. Stephen, how do you know your life? What is life? How do you do?
How I measure my aliveness, and often it's not actually pleasant, but is via my emotions.
Aha.
And so sometimes if I am actually in a place of being very peaceful, mm-hmm. I begin to question, well, am I really peaceful, or am I in denial? Mm-hmm. So my emotions are what's, for me, is some kind of a measure. And I'm over decades have become more and more to appreciate what a pitfall that is. Because it leaves me mostly in some frame of mind condemning what does not feel good.
Yes.
And chasing what does.
Yes.
And that's gotten folded into my spiritual practice.
Uh-huh.
So whether it's meditation or some spiritual experience, I'm looking for the next high.
Yes. Emotions.
Yes. And then my emotions have been dictated by what thoughts and experiences and actions that I have carefully crafted a story about what they mean over my lifetime. And then living through that.
Yes. But the emotions seem to come whether you want them to or not.
Yeah, it's like that's the
kicker. Blind power of life occurring.
Well, I've had an experience over the last couple of weeks, mm-hmm. where I've really been confronted by, am I just in checked out because I'm very good at just checking out emotionally,
mm-hmm.
or am I just genuinely calm?
Mm-hmm.
I'm dealing with some health issues with my dog, who you all know is the most precious thing in my whole life.
Oh yeah,
and it just gets my emotions going. It gets all the chemistry going. And so I will make some attempt to reach out to Holy Spirit and I'm trying to get a little more precise and authentic about what I'm surrendering.
Mm-hmm.
Like, really, I don't need these thoughts, these emotions, these feelings. Mm-hmm. Just, here's the thing. I give it all to you, Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Particularly those ways that I have neurotic patterns that stimulate something in my body that has a whole thing. I give you all of that.
Yeah, yeah. Because it's now starting to seem a little bit useless.
Yes. Well, and not fun.
Not fun.
Certainly not fun.
And self-perpetuating, not useful.
Yes, yes. And then every time, and then I'm not necessarily clear-headed.
Yes.
So, so my request of Holy Spirit is like, give me the right thoughts.
Uh-huh.
Right, and the appropriate actions to take. It's not like, uh-huh. there's nothing to do. There are some actions that need to be taken.
Uh-huh. So help then, with the right thoughts,
what those actions
with the right
be.
Thoughts, were you to have them.
So I've been gradually.
Were you to have the right thoughts? The Holy Spirit says, oh, glad you asked. Stand by. Downloading now. Whoa! Thank you.
It's kind of been like that.
Then you had a shift in perspective. It's a miracle.
Yeah.
You have a shift in perspective about your issues. They were stinking. Now it's not so bad.
Right.
Then the emotions would be a lot cleaner and more useful.
It's like I've gotten a variety of news about what we're dealing with along the way. And mm-hmm. I notice, here it comes. But mm-hmm. So far, only 10 or 20% of what I'm capable of.
Yeah.
And I go right back and surrender that.
A little more sane.
So uh-huh. it's been a lot smoother. I've been a lot more clear-headed. I've had more access to, how to appropriately deal with, Jesse's going to need surgery. It's a $5,000 surgery.
Mm-hmm.
On a little bitty knee. She's a 5-pound dog. Her knee needs to be operated on, and it's a $5,000 thing. So now today I found that out, and so I started getting a little nutty about that. All right, so let's check it out.
Uh-huh.
Number one, I can't afford it, but I have the money.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, I want to look at, you know, like I have a care credit card for these.
Now, I'm going to stop you here because we're getting into your dog pretty deep here.
Okay.
But I do want to point out that the emotions, as what you pointed out, is something that indicates life to you.
Yes.
And it's pretty consistent throughout your life. It is a power that you, sounds like, you'd like to harness and
yes,
do better with.
Because it's dictated pretty much every major decision that I've made in my life.
Uh-huh.
And in hindsight, many of them were not that great.
Uh-huh. So the emotions started to do the thinking instead of the thought that created them. Very good. Very good. Well, what does life do that keeps reminding you that you're alive?
I had a hard time with that because the way you phrased it, life is something external
mm-hmm,
to
mm-hmm,
me.
Mm-hmm.
And I couldn't quite, you know, get with that. But now, with life, it's wrapped up in a body. And like what Stephen was talking about, you know, mm-hmm. it's this body-centric
mm-hmm.
stuff.
Yeah, stuff. Yeah.
And it's external. It's like being a victim.
It's like being a victim.
Like life was a victimizer.
Those damn cells keep dividing and digesting your food and reassembling. Do you know that every 7 years all your cells get replaced?
Mm-hmm.
By some of your cells 45 days.
Mm-hmm.
Your large muscles in your legs, they hang around for about 45 days.
They can get out of shape in 45
3 days. Oh yeah, if you stop exercising, you'll notice your legs will just drop away. If you get in a wheelchair or something, you get really sick and you're bedridden, these atrophy happens so quickly on the large muscles.
That's true.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
So there's this whole scale, and we can go through the body, and we can look in your mouth. It's very, very, very quick. Like 3 days. If you get a burn in your mouth, 3 days later, it's like, okay, I'm better. You get a burn in your leg, it's 2 weeks. You know, your foot, you know.
So from now on, just get a burn in your mouth.
Yeah, just burn the mouth. When you're going to get a burn, put your tongue out there. Then she learned something today. See? Useful class.
The roof of your mouth.
Yeah, the roof even better. Stick the hot thing on the roof. Yeah.
So, my girlfriends keep telling me I'm going to get cancer in my mouth because I eat everything really, really hot and drink everything really, really hot. And I'll say, if cancer can grow in 3 days, okay, but if it can't,
you got
don't
it.
Worry about it.
You got it. You live and die in 3 days, that cancer. So, but the bottom line is that all but just a couple of cells in the body get completely replaced anyway. It is completely replaced. Life keeps working your cells, Walt.
But it keeps working you.
That's why my point keeps working you. So, just point out for us one of the ways it works you. Where how does life show up in Walt's life that you just say, well, that's life, living. That's the animal. That's the animal. What life is manifesting it as Walt. You get hungry? It's kind of a victim-y thing.
Yeah.
I mean, I'll just throw something out there. You can take it or leave it. There's 100 of these.
Yeah, it's a good example.
It drives, right? Victim. So I'm going to go with victim, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to go with that life makes you feel like a victim to life because it's so freaking powerful. Whether it's hunger or sleep or whatever else. You that's the word that you... Because, God, it's like being a victim. This life just keeps coming. Interestingly enough.
Yeah, it just sort of runs.
It's running. Yeah, it's running. The animal. That's right. That's right. Yeah. Kenny, how does life show up? How does it keep reminding you that you're alive? Anything?
Well, I was thinking my body is living. And it gives me a chance to be here.
Yeah.
As long as it keeps working.
Yeah.
I can be here.
Yeah, you can be here. You can
yeah.
be here.
Yeah.
That's right. It keeps working, then therefore, you can be and you can be here. Yeah, that's damn straight.
Yeah.
Life is affording that. And it keeps working, so you keep being.
Yeah.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah. Bridget?
I guess it seems like a big game.
Okay.
That I know that there's forces at work that it's, you can play with it, but then it can be so solid of the body, but then there's other elements that, you know, like how you can shift energy with your thoughts so you don't get the cascade of emotional stuff. Mm-hmm. You know, that you are, you realize you are a victim of the emotions, or I realize I was a victim of, am a victim of emotions.
Mm-hmm.
But then how you can play with that and get a different effect, and it shifts. You know, you don't have to start sweating. Mm-hmm. You know, you don't have to mm-hmm. have all those responses, or I can laugh instead of stress out.
There we go.
And so just kind of being able to have that awareness somewhere in the wherewithal to use it.
Yes.
You know, it's kind of like being able to put it out there when you really need it instead of going, oh, my hindsight, I could have done this, this, and this.
Yes.
So it's kind of...
So for you, life is a menu of forces. And you can you don't have to experience any particular one. You can choose which one's going to come through.
Yeah.
But it's right. Life is a force, and it can be chosen.
It can be what
laughter
you can be.
Yeah. Or fear or sorrow or shock. Or maybe I'll just laugh about it instead, because isn't that life? I'm instead of being shocked about that situation that just happened with the horses, I'm just going to go, wow, this is what it's like to live. I have a horse.
Mm-hmm. Isn't that amazing?
After all, it is a big animal. I knew that.
And that's a force, of course. energy. You know, it's just how energy takes a shape.
Yeah.
And what people do with it.
That's, you know, like, well, it takes a shape.
Coming at you, or it's a physical body coming at you.
Uh-huh.
Something like that is kind of... Or can you let it go... like there's space in this body, and how does it get stuck if there's space, you know, physics.
Right. So I like that. So there's lots of forces going on there. Lots of forces going on there. But you are confident that, you kind of tap your pen in your book, I could actually do more choosing, like Stephen here would like to do, and have the Holy Spirit help him choose the thoughts before he lives with the emotions that would follow. The wrong thoughts, which have done a lot of things in his life. He said, you know what? Let me just remember, I could choose. I could do a little more driving here and enjoy these forces more, a little more, than some of the panic that eventually brings about the trouble. Good, good. Life's forces that keep showing up. You respect them. Luann, does life show up in your life?
I've had so many thoughts, including the ones before, which were... So where I am right now, after agreeing with everybody, is life for me is the opportunity I hate to use this word, but it feels like it a lot of times, to chase after love.
Aha!
And I don't mean love between a man or a woman. I mean chase after feeling love.
Yes. Uh-huh.
So I chase after it by wanting to make people happy so that I can feel the love that I have for them rather than when they're upset. And then I have to fight off the feelings that go along with not wanting them to be upset, which is in all kinds of ways, which is difficult.
Because so it's the opposite of that love thing that you're pursuing.
Yeah.
But it still has to do with love.
Still has to do with love.
It's love lost.
It's love.
And it's life for you is find love.
It's to find love, but the struggle is when it's not obvious.
Yeah, so then love out of reach, but it's still love that you're reaching for. Mm-hmm. It's just out of reach right now.
Right.
Good.
Not all the time, but
all right then. But that's one of the ways you know that you're alive, because
if all there was love, maybe I wouldn't know that I was in love.
But that's what you're called. That's what you're calling this force for you is love.
But there can still be people upset with you or upset mm-hmm. in general, mm-hmm. and love is still present. That's right? Not a measure of whether love is present for you, because that's conditional.
Well, I think I'm being misunderstood a little bit.
Okay.
I think my natural state is love, and life allows me to be in this natural state. But life also gives me things that want to pull me out of that natural state, and I have to work on not letting that happen. So life is about working hard to stay in what I want to be, which is in a state of love. So you're asking, that's what it is. I hope that mm-hmm. makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Is this how you know you're alive?
Apparently. Otherwise, I don't know if I'm alive or not.
Cecily, how does life show up in your life?
Well, what came to me during the meditation is similar to what other people said, that, well, right now, coming to the Course, I feel like I'm in a transition period of life, not really knowing what life is for, honestly.
Mm-hmm.
But prior to coming, it was all about trying to maximize pleasure and minimize pain,
mm-hmm.
which is no unique combination for the
yeah,
human.
I've heard Luann say that.
Yeah.
That's right.
So that chasing pleasure and running from pain is how I
mm-hmm.
Associated with the body and the emotions.
Yes.
Is
yes.
how I've always how I understand life.
Yeah.
But now I'm getting a new understanding.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, so very good. So life is showing up as desiring pleasure. And desiring, because it's life, right? Life progresses. Life is loving. Life is managing force. You know, so life is still desiring, but it's desiring not pain, which is very positive. It's desiring pleasure, which is obviously positive. Desiring not pain, also positive. It's life. Good. So that's a driver. That shows up every day for all of us. It's good. For me, what I came to was, I know life keeps showing up for me because the survival aspect, I keep surviving, whether it's physically or financially or emotionally, or, you know, I keep doing things so that I will survive. This Andrew thing. So there's a locus of survival going on here that seems to be driven to continue as an entity. As life somehow is doing that. That's life doing that for me. Okay, now, perhaps much tougher question. Gonna need you to open your mind, and you can do some fantasizing for here for sure, because you're possibly not so much of a witness now to the second question. It's happening, but you may not have been witnessing it so well. And that is, what is life doing for you in the big picture? What's it doing for you now in the big picture? What's life going to afford for you in the big picture?
I remember something Rhonda said decades ago, grist for the mill.
Okay.
So I'm reaching for having even those patterned ways of being be the opportunity, number one, to surrender for a new version,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
whatever that new version may be.
Yes.
And I know the less I'm involved in that, the better off I am.
Yes.
And I don't know, I don't know at all how Holy Spirit works.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like get a voice, I don't like mm-hmm. make a determination,
mm-hmm.
I don't have a strategy.
Yes. Yes.
I don't know. I don't. It's just weird how when and even my dog, I swear Holy Spirit's in her,
because
she's being so brave, and you know, and it's
uh-huh.
like, So it's just weird. It's like it's not like I'm thinking about like listening to Holy Spirit all day long, you know, but on those days where there's some clarity, it's just I look back in the day and go, wow, that actually went okay, you know? It's
uh-huh.
like, and in hindsight I'm going, that really wasn't me.
Uh-huh. Yep. Yep. And you took the model of your dog, bravery, which you gave that idea to the dog. Said, oh my God, is she being brave?
Yeah.
Yeah. That was your Holy Spirit talking to you, using your dog as a model.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? Not panicking pays dividends.
Oh God, yeah.
Trusting that you're strong enough, bravery, works out great. You're learning from your dog. The Holy Spirit's using your dog as a teacher.
Absolutely.
So I'm taking your word, surrender. Surrender the old for an improvement. This is what life is, the role life shall play for you and is playing right now, is a surrender the old for a new. Beautiful. Well, where does this go? What's life? What role is life playing in this bigger picture for you?
For me right now, it's giving me time to
aha.
observe
yes.
this character named Walt.
Yes.
And to come to some new understanding.
A new understanding.
And so it's the time.
It's the time. So life is affording you time. So I think yours was victimhood. Okay? So life is so powerful, you can't stop it. But the benefit is, because it's so powerful, you're a victim also of having time to check out Walt.
Mm-hmm.
And to watch Walt-ness be, teach and unfold and give you new understanding. But it's affording you time.
Yeah.
You bet. What a gentle way to come about in your birth. To have it take time. What a gentle way for you to be born as a spiritual being. To have it take time.
Well, not to take time, but I have the time. Life is giving me the time right now to do this.
Yes.
But you're taking that opportunity.
Yes.
I'm using that time.
Yes. I'm seeing this as like an advantage or a benefit of being tired.
I'm
not working.
Useful.
doesn't the book say there's like a good use of time, or like an ego is like a bad use of time, and then the Holy Spirit, there's a good use of time, which is like kind of how Walt's describing it?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. That's like a gift to work.
Yes.
That's a gift, right?
Yeah,
now.
That's right.
That's how I feel about it.
Yeah, there are retired people who are miserable. And don't want another minute. They go back to work. They try to volunteer themselves into misery. I mean,
they're
just doing stuff all the time.
Yeah,
They're just doing.
Yeah. So Holy Spirit will take the time you give it, and will give it a new purpose. So rather than numbing you out like a drug, mm-hmm. now it will wake you up. You can use time. Holy Spirit will use time now for your spiritual awakening. Beautiful. Kenny,
yes.
Where does this go? What's this? Now that you can be and you can be here, what role is that playing in the big picture for you?
Well, I spend time asleep, so my dreams are doing. And then at 6:00, I wake up, and there's a story or a dream that I don't like. Right off the bat.
Yes, yes, yes.
So, I got to get out of there.
Yeah.
To get away from that.
Yes.
Whatever that story was that my dream created.
Yes.
And then I have the whole day to do something or think about something. And also time to say, you know, that didn't work out, it didn't like that, you know, tell a story, no, that shouldn't have done that one, you know, go back 50 years, 70 years old story, like, no, that was still there, but still enjoy.
Yes, to enjoy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So your body continues to function, yeah, and allows you to be here.
It allows me to be
and
here.
By here is a chance to revisit, to push out the bad, push out the darkness, and you actually have permission to do that, and you have a way to do that. There actually is light available to shine on the darkness. And so, but your body, your life keeps providing you a chance to be in the light, yeah, and enjoy.
Yeah.
Not bad.
That's pretty good.
Bridget, yeah, what's the big picture?
I think it's like Earth School 101A, remedial. Remedial Earth School 101A.
Yes.
And how to evolve, how to be a little bit more present, more gentle. It's always that spirit tugging on me, you know, what's the right choice?
Yes.
It doesn't, you know, you don't want to be an asshole like him,
uh-huh,
or her.
Uh-huh.
What's a better choice? What's a better choice? There's got to be a better way than,
yes,
you know, it's not...
Yes.
Behooving or,
yes,
improving who I really am.
Yes.
Or who we really are.
Yes.
You know, there's better choices.
Yes.
And it's just always been that, it's an opportunity to step up the game.
To step up the game using this power, the menu of power.
I think it's going to be like, applied to my next few lifetimes too.
Uh-huh.
There's a, you know, I would like to evolve. I would like to move through some of the stuff that I'm stuck on.
Yeah.
And yeah.
And where you spoke a moment ago, how does life keep showing up for you? It just shows up with this power that keeps flowing in and out of your life. And if you steer it a little bit, it's good power. And it's what you want. And a laugh might come. Or compassion might come. And if you don't steer it, or if you steer it the wrong way, some attack comes out. And it grinds to something you don't want. And you don't want to go with you into your next incarnation. Because this power is still going to be there with you at the controls. And you know it. That's what I heard. Life 101.
Remedial.
Yeah. Got to push back down to put your hands back in the controls. And yeah, this good, this bad, bad. This good, good. Remedial. I like it.
Right.
It'll do that. It's perfect for that. Isn't this life perfect to teach you good, good, bad, bad?
Yes. And especially at this point in life with not having to show up at work.
Yeah,
I thought that was going to kind of hinder my, you know, experience with people. But all I have to do is turn on the radio or watch TV.
Trigger.
I was like, oh my God.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. Luann, what's the big picture?
Since love is what I'm thinking.
More, yes, yes.
The life is an opportunity to find love without all the negative stuff that is attached. A different kind of love that I think I...
Very good.
That I think I...
Very good.
Have experienced in the past.
Very good. So life keeps driving toward love, which is how you know you're alive. And you believe the big picture is it will drive you toward a different kind of love. That
I think
is
something that's much more meaningful than whatever I'm experiencing most of the time is love now.
Yes, that's right, because the love now keeps slipping off into seeking for love or being misunderstood. Or no love,
yeah,
despite the desire to have the love, so there must be another way. So we're going to get some improved thinking about it. We're going to have the Holy Spirit weigh in,
exactly,
on what you think love is.
Exactly.
And your hunger for love is really going to serve you
and
here.
And it's driving me to the Holy Spirit, because that's the only place that I have any idea at all I might be able to find.
Very good. Excellent. We're in the right place. Good, good. Cecily, what's the big picture?
Mine's so similar to Luann, just in different words, which is, I started out when I said that I see life as like seeking pleasure and trying to avoid pain. But now, as I'm getting more into the course, I'm realizing that as I go to peace, that I get to kind of like, it's like peace is a, it's pleasurable to feel peace without it being always slipping away and being coming and going and having to seek it. It's more like constant and feels really good.
Because if you don't know this yet, you will very soon. The peace is different now. It's coming from you. You're discovering a peace that was waiting the whole time. Rather than having a reason to be peaceful out there, you now find that if you just do nothing, the peace is waiting right in you. So it's never far away, and it's an infinite supply. This you will know with every heartbeat as you continue. And it's really good news. Yes! Infinite supply!
That's amazing.
Yeah, yeah.
And you said something one time about peace that I, way, way, way back when I first started the trip, not that long ago actually, but you said, and peace is the portal to love.
That's right.
And so for me, when I'm in peace, I can say, okay, this far away from experiencing the kind of love.
Hey, girl. Mm. Very good. Mm. That's right. Yeah. Good, good.
I've been watching Bridget for a long time. I think she's got a path, a loving path.
Mm. Mm. Pushing some of the right buttons, huh? moving the right controls?
Yeah.
Harnessing the power in a good direction?
Yeah.
Looks like love?
Yeah.
Yeah. This is not about that.
Yeah. Next time you say that, I'm going to ask you to sing it.
I don't remember. Besides, my father told me I can't carry a tune, and I believed him ever since. My mother looked at me one time when I was singing along with him all the time, and she said, "You can sing." I thought, "You."
So for me, life has continued to bring me the survival of this being. It continues to make me survive and be. And the big picture is, because life just insists that I survive, I think what the big picture is for me is I will clear my mind and I will bring God's child back to God. I am a child of God in my true form, my true being. And I'm going to bring that back to God and say, "Come, I will come home. Hey, guess who's home?" that's what life is sculpting, I believe, with all of us. A peaceful child, a loving child, a choosing child, and a being, the child. And the witnessing child and the awakened child will all come home as God. And this book woke me up to that fact that each of us, see, you will never see God as an entity outside you because you are the extension of God as being. And this book said you are the joy of God when God laughs, it's because you laugh.
Compassionate, wise. Yeah. Come on, that lesson that says, list all the ways in which God has created you.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's right. And God is the love with which I forgive. Whoa, wait a minute. That means when you're forgiving, you're God's love. So, you got a great role to play. All right, now let's look at death. I just tried to cheer you up a bit with all that. Now it's going to...
Death sounds a lot easier.
Isn't it? It's all, yeah. I know, that's this victim thing we're all talking about. You know, this life just keeps coming at you. Wouldn't it be easier just to turn it off? Okay, page 416. Okay, now this is the third obstacle to peace in A Course in Miracles. The third obstacle, the first obstacle was the desire to get rid of peace. First obstacle to peace is the desire not to have peace. Whoa. Next obstacle within that is the attraction to guilt. Oh. Next obstacle was the body and this addiction to the idea that it has something to provide you, so that it has something to give you, and that just turns out to not be a very peaceful way to exist, so it blocks peace. And now, the attraction of death. So let's read this section. You ready, Stephen?
Yeah. The third obstacle, the attraction of death. To you and your brother, in whose special relationship the Holy Spirit entered, it is given to release and be released from the dedication to death. For it was offered you, and you accepted. Yet you must learn still more about this strange devotion, for it contains the third obstacle that peace must flow across. No one can die unless he chooses death. What seems to be the fear of death is really its attraction. Guilt, too, is feared and fearful, yet it could have no hold at all except on those who are attracted to it and seek it out. And so it is with death. Made by the ego, its dark shadow falls across all living things because the ego is the enemy of life.
And yet a shadow cannot kill. What is a shadow to the living? They but walk past and it is gone. But what of those whose dedication is not to live? The black grave sinners, the ego's mournful chorus, plodding so heavily away from life, dragging their chains and marching in the slow procession that honors their grim master, Lord of Death. Touch any one of them with the gentle hands of forgiveness and watch the chains fall away along with yours. See him throw aside the black robe he was wearing to his funeral and hear him laugh at death. The sentence sin would lay upon him, he can escape through your forgiveness. This is no arrogance. It is the word of God. What is impossible to you who chose this will of yours? What is death to you? Your dedication is not to death, nor to its master. When you accepted the Holy Spirit's purpose in the place of the ego's, you renounce death, exchanging it for life. You know that an idea leaves not its source, and death is the result of the thought you call the ego, as surely as life is the result of the thought of God.
Nice. Let's continue.
The incorruptible body. From the ego came sin and guilt and death in the opposition to life and innocence and to the will of God himself. Where can such opposition lie but in the sick minds of the insane, dedicated to madness and set against the peace of heaven? One thing is sure, God, who created neither sin nor death, wills not that you be bound by them. He knows of neither sin nor its results. The shrouded figures in the funeral procession march not in honor of their Creator, whose will is they live. They are not following his will. They are opposing it.
Mm-hmm.
And what is the black-draped body they would bury? A body which they dedicated to death. A symbol of corruption. A sacrifice for sin. Offered to sin to feed upon and keep itself alive. A thing condemned. Damned by its maker and lamented by every mourner who looks upon it as himself. You who believe you have condemned the Son of God to this are arrogant. But you who would release him are but honoring the will of the Creator. The arrogance of sin, the pride of guilt, the sepulcher of separation, all are part of your unrecognized dedication to death. The glitter of guilt you laid upon the body would kill it. For what the ego loves, it kills for its obedience. But what obeys it not, it cannot kill.
Mm-hmm.
You have another dedication that would keep the body incorruptible and perfect as long as it is useful for your holy purpose. The body no more dies than it can feel. It does nothing. Of itself, it is neither corruptible nor incorruptible. It is nothing. It is the result of a tiny mad idea of corruption that can be corrected. For God has answered this insane idea with his own, an answer which left him not, and therefore brings the Creator to the awareness of every mind which heard his answer and accepted it.
You who are dedicated to the incorruptible have been given, through your acceptance, the power to release from corruption. What better way to teach the first and fundamental principle in A Course in Miracles than by showing you the one that seems to be the hardest can be accomplished first? The body can but serve your purpose. As you look on it, so will it seem to be. Death, were it true, would be the final and complete disruption of communication, which is the ego's goal.
Keep going?
Yep.
Those who fear death see not how often and how loudly they call to it and bid it come to save them from communication. For death is seen as safety, the great dark savior from the light of truth, the answer to the answer, the silencer of the voice that speaks for God. Yet the retreat to death is not the end of conflict. Only God's answer is its end. The obstacle of your seeming love for death that peace must flow across seems to be very great, for in it lie all the ego's secrets, all its strange devices for deception, all its sick ideas and weird imaginings. Here is the final end of union, the triumph of the ego's making over creation, the victory of lifelessness on life itself.
Under the dusty edge of its distorted world, the ego would lay, the Son of God, slain by its orders, proof in his decay that God himself is powerless before the ego's might, unable to protect the life that he created against the ego's savage wish to kill. That's a long sentence.
I read it again.
Yeah. Under the dusty edge of its distorted world, the ego would lay, the Son of God, slain by its orders, proof in his decay that God himself is powerless before the ego's might, unable to protect the life that he created against the ego's savage wish to kill. My brother, child of our father, this is a dream of death. There is no funeral, no dark altars, no grim commandments, nor twisted rituals of condemnation to which the body leads you. Ask not release of it, but free it from the merciless and unrelenting orders you laid upon it, and forgive it what you ordered it to do. In its exaltation, you commanded it to die, for only death could conquer life. And what but insanity could look upon the defeat of God and think it real?
The fear of death will go as it appeal to yield to love's real attraction. The end of sin, which nestles quietly in the safety of your relationship, protected by your union with your brother, and ready to grow into a mighty force for God, is very near. The infancy of salvation is carefully guarded by love, preserved from every thought that would attack it, and quietly made ready to fulfill the mighty task for which it was given you. Your newborn purpose is nursed by angels, cherished by the Holy Spirit, and protected by God himself. It needs not your protection. It is yours, for it is deathless, and within it lies the end of death.
What danger can assail the holy innocent? What can attack the guiltless? What fear can enter and disturb the peace of sinlessness? What has been given you, even in its infancy, is in full communication with God and you, in its tiny hands it holds, in perfect safety, every miracle you will perform, held out to you. Is that the end of the sentence? The miracle of life is ageless, born in time but nourished in eternity. Behold this infant to whom you have, that you gave a resting place by your forgiveness of your brother, and see it in, and see in it the will of God. Here is the babe of Bethlehem, reborn, and everyone who gives me shelter will follow him, not to the cross, but to the resurrection and the life.
Mm-hmm. Okay, here comes a big paragraph. Bring it.
When anything seems to you to be a source of fear, when any situation strikes you with terror and makes your body tremble, and the cold sweat of fear comes over it, remember, it is always for one reason. The ego has perceived it as a symbol of fear, a sign of sin and death. Remember then that neither sign nor symbol should be confused with source, for they must stand for something other than themselves. Their meaning cannot lie in them, but must be sought in what they represent. And they may thus mean everything or nothing, according to the truth or falsity of the idea which they reflect. Confronted with such seeming uncertainty of meaning, judge it not. Remember the holy presence of the one given to you to be the source of judgment. Give it to him to judge for you and say...
Want to
read the last part?
Yeah, bring it. You bring it.
Oh, okay. And say, take this from me and look upon it, judging it for me. Let me not see it as a sign of sin and death, nor use it for destruction. Teach me how not to make of it an obstacle to peace, but let you use it for me to facilitate its coming.
Thank you. Beautiful. Okay. Back to 416, paragraph 1. The third obstacle, the attraction of death, says, to you and your brother, in whose special relationship the Holy Spirit entered, it is given now to release and to be released from the dedication to death, for it was offered you and you accepted. This ability to be released has been offered to you and you accept it. Yet you must learn still more about this strange devotion to death, for it contains the third obstacle that peace must flow across. You see, no one can die unless he chooses death. What seems to be the fear of death is really the attraction to death. Okay? Now, this is what the Course is talking about, is that you are the dreamer of the dream. So, a fear of death is actually a belief in death. That death has power, you be a victim, to lights out, to ending. Since you are the dreamer of the dream, you're using a force that you have to create, get this now, because it's a short word, and you're going to miss it quite easily, so I'm just going to try to say it slowly. You've used this power to create an end. There's no end to life. You are a manifestation of life. Your being continues in this form as you see it now. But life was before you. Form. Life is a thought of God. Therefore, it is creation. Therefore, it's permanent and forever. Thank you very much. Death would be an invention that would not be a thought of God, because it would end life. And all of us talked about this mysterious power of life. Whether it's a victim or it's a drive to love, it doesn't matter. It's there. All of us acknowledged this mysterious continued drive. Because life is a thought of God. Therefore, it is of truth. It has been created. And it is. It is, always. Death would be a thought of the ego to stop a thought of God, which is impossible. Okay, so...
That's why if we do have life after life after life, it's because it's impossible.
Yeah, that's right, because it's impossible to not have life. And you continue to believe in death, so you keep ending these intervals with this, like, with this attraction to death. So you'd end an interval, which will just start again. Life would start again now. And you believe that the only thing that's true is something that can die. So you continue to reinvest in that idea. Stephen talked about getting new thoughts. Give up the old and get improved thoughts. Walt says, let me look at what Walt really is. Give me some time to actually reconsider, maybe, and consider, what is Walt really? Kenny says, I get a chance to be. And be what? Be how? Bridget says, well, be a chooser of powers that are. I obviously have controls here, and I want to use them better. Loanne says, well, the only control I want is love, and I just want to keep pointing at a real love now, because I mean, I've been pointing at a substitute for love. Keep showing up.
Yeah, the substitute. You know it's a substitute because it ends.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
And love doesn't.
Yes. Yeah. So in any case, this attraction to death proves our idolization of it. In other words, we actually want it. Oh, are we busting the ego here at a whole new in your face? I hope so. Because you will continue to live. You, the real you, is life. If you ever wonder what life is, it's you. The real you. It's manifesting in a body here right now out of this creative power that you're applying to do a individualization that's turned into separation. But the idea of death is what we're looking at now. And the idea of death is using a power, one of the controls that you have as a creator, Bridget, invested in you, is the power to invent stuff. And one of the things you invented was an end of life. That will bring a hearty laugh when you recognize you'd have to use life to end life. And then life would have the witness that life was really gone. And you say, there's no end of life. You can't even get successful death without somebody saying, well, I guess she's dead now. Somebody else has arrived to notice that there's death occur. No, life goes on and on. Then you just laugh at death. And you recognize that life survives, only survives. There is no opposite. There's no opposite to life. This will dawn on you. And hopefully in the next couple of weeks as we look through this, we go in the workbook a few times and you might even get some confidence that there's no opposite to life. There's also no opposite to love. It's on page 1. Anybody remember why? How it says that? On page 1? Where it says, well, you know, of course can't teach love. You know. It says, well, it does say, you know, fear is the opposite of love on page 1, comma, but, record scratch. When it says but, you can forget everything it just said because here comes the truth. What is all-encompassing can have no opposite. Truth has been spoken. Life is all-encompassing, the manifestations of God. You can't end what is. Well, then it wouldn't be, see? It wouldn't be what is if you could end it. And that's how absurd death is. Death is part of the invention of this dream so that we can enforce the experience of separation and have no God, have no truth, and chaotically bounce around and have to figure it out. And no love. No love!
The problem with love, Luann, is it gets us to join and support and manifest an ever-rising orchestra of sharing. Don't do that.
Don't do that.
That's too loving. You will not be able to stay separate if you do that.
Oh, I was hoping you were going to explain that I should be doing that.
Right?
But I want to be doing that.
Right? That's all you want. That's what you want. That's where you're going. That's your big picture.
That's what I want.
That's right. And it's what you'll have because it's the only thing you want. And you are a creator with all the controls that Bridget is describing. She's over there remedial, figuring out, what does this lever do? I don't know, but I'm going to pull it. Yeah. And that's all you're doing now. Is continuing to focus doggedly on manifesting pure love, which, by the way, is an orchestra of sharing. Every instrument is playing the music of sharing in true love. Okay. Every squeak, every rattle, every string vibrates with love. That's where you're going.
I hope. I mean, that's what I'm
You don't have to hope. You don't have to hope. I know if your body wants to hope and I understand your brain wants to hope, okay? But your mind can only know love.
Okay.
And that's all it's going to, it will not settle. And it will not celebrate.
That's true.
Yeah, so there you go. Yeah, that's right. Yes, please, go ahead.
Okay. I was going to say, so I feel like I've read in the course that, you know, God is a creator, we're extensions of God, therefore we too are creators, and that we can't, in this illusion, this world, the bodies we're creating. But I just was so struck by what Walt said about just like being and just like witnessing himself, observing himself, like taking the time. And it seems like there's like that way to live, and then other people who want to create, they want to create businesses, they want to create families, they want to create whatever, and how do those two things fit, because they're both like have like spiritual feeling to me, but Walt's explanation almost more so, but God's a creator, so do you understand my question?
Yeah, because the creative force continues everywhere. Love is present always. The only creation is love. The only creative force is love. Walt's looking for it. Luann's looking for it. Even somebody who's creating a business, they're actually looking for love. If we went after the motivation of Elon Musk for making an electric car company, why are you risking these billions of dollars to make a car that doesn't run on gas? It's going to be love. The answer is going to be love. If we ask ExxonMobil, why is it you guys are spending billions and billions of dollars to go dig holes in the earth and drag up oil? Come on, somebody tell me at Exxon. Somebody will say, you know what? It's for... you know, any answer they give, if we chase that answer, and if it's for profit, or it's for security for their families, or it's because it's what the guys did before and they hired me to do it, and I'm doing it for my survival, I'm an employee at Exxon, you're going to find love.
Mm-hmm.
You will chase it down to love for every single reason for everything done on this planet. Why did you pull out your sword and cut that guy's head off? Can you just tell me? And it will come down to love. That's why he killed the other guy. Because he thought he was going to serve love in some way and somehow. Why did you beat the living tar out of this person and end up in jail for 10 years? O.J. Simpson, why did you kill Nicole Simpson, your wife, your ex-wife? It will come down to for himself, quite selfishly in that moment, but nonetheless, he felt that he needed to stop her from doing whatever she was doing so he could love himself. He had to.
So if we look deep enough into everything, we will find love.
Yeah, everywhere. And that's how you will find love.
Maybe that's why I like being a psychologist. I get to dig and dig and dig into people's motivations.
Yes. There's a whole bunch of substitutes for love going on here. But they're all chasing love.
So if you're not getting love, or if you pursuing love, I want love, so I'm going to kill you because I'm not getting the love that I want.
Yep.
Kind of thing.
That's right.
Maybe if you're dead, I can find it.
Or the cry for love.
It's a cry for love. Call for love.
Cry for love.
That's right. It's always love.
If you're not loving me, and I want you to love me, and you're not, so I'm going to have to kill you.
And that's how I'm going to call for love. You're a block to love. I need love bad, and you just keep pushing it away. I'm going to kill you. Oh, yeah, it's love. Everywhere. All the time. It's a pretty sorry way to look for love by trying to end life. And you see, this is using death. There's an attraction to death that means it says it's some kind of a power.
It's a misunderstanding, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Because you can't kill.
Uh-huh.
You can't kill love.
Yes, you can't kill love.
So if you kill a person, it's...
You can't kill life.
Yeah, if you kill a person, I mean, if their body's gone, let's say.
Yeah.
It's not going to give you the love you want because it's already there.
Uh-huh.
You just don't know it yet.
If you could kill life, then it wasn't life.
Yeah.
It was a dream of life. We'll get there.
So that's the illusion of power, is if you can kill and not get the thing.
Mike, you want to finish your sentence? Should I finish your sentence?
Because
you're on a roll there. It's an illusion of power if you can kill something that is the power itself.
Yeah.
You see, power is invisible. Truth is invisible. These controls that you have, that you talked about, that you're here in remedial to learn how to use again, they're all invisible. And they do not end. They were given you as a creator. They don't end. Infinite supply of peace. When you find out that it is not only in you, but the peace that you would like to experience is you. So it's infinite supply as long as you are. If you feel like seeking, you are. It's a wonderful, wonderful awakening. It's infinite. We'll go more on that.
So,
okay, yes?
That also means that all the characteristics that I could possibly come up for that God created me as itself, they're all infinite.
Yes.
And they all basically are emanating from love.
Yes. And they're all invisible.
Yeah, the only thing we can... So I can feel peace. I can feel love. They're invisible. What are they then?
Look at miracle principle number 2.
Well, I don't remember what number 2 is.
Yeah.
I don't remember what number any number is.
Yeah.
I'm too old to remember anything.
Well, good. Then you won't. Then nothing will get in your way.
Okay.
You can't remember the blocks, then it won't be there. Okay, look at page.
That is my only hope.
I know it. God, sister, you and me both.
Make it for you.
Give me the perfect Alzheimer's.
Yeah.
There's this cartoon, I thought it was so funny. It's a woman sitting out in front of her in her lawn furniture. He says, "Well, my doctor just told me that I have Alzheimer's. But at least I don't have Alzheimer's."
My answer to that is I've always had Alzheimer's. So.
Miracle principle number 2 for you, Luann.
Miracles.
It says miracles do not matter. How about that? A Course in Miracles, and one of the first things it says is miracles don't matter. What the 1,300 pages? What the? Why spending my time on this if they don't matter? God, this book! How much did I pay for it? Oh,
not all that much.
miracles as such do not matter.
You just entertain.
The only thing that matters is miracle source with a capital S. Which is far beyond evaluation. And so you might ask yourself, wow, that's interesting. That's something to learn. So what is the source of miracles then that's capitalized? What is the source of miracles that does matter? Well, next miracle principle, number 3.
Oh, geez, okay. My glasses
back on. It says miracles occur naturally as expressions of love.
Okay.
There you go, Luann. You're on the right track.
Thank you.
What page are you on?
Oh, page 3.
Chapter 1, page 3.
Oh, yeah, it's like 20 pages in. After all those I's and V's and stuff like that, and the preface would be on that. Or you could jump into like page 20 and turn backwards to get to page 3. I know this book has got so many pages. So many numbers.
Page 3.
Yeah.
Oh, very good. So, and I'm on miracle principle 3. Miracles occur naturally as expressions of love. The real miracle is the love that inspires miracles. In this sense, well, everything that comes from love is a miracle. Just for you, Luann. It's everywhere, happening all the time. Okay, good. Well,
if it comes from love, then it feels good.
Yeah, that's right.
I'm just saying it feels good.
That's right. And there's an emotion that is a really nice to experience. So with the right thoughts, and the right thought would be it came from love, the emotion is going to be love. It's going to feel good. The fear and the worthlessness or the threat, all those kind of things disappear. Why? Because miracles are signs of life. Next miracle principle, God is the giver of life. The giver of life. That means life doesn't go away. And it will feel good. That's your job. Your function is God's feeling good. God's happiness. That's your function. Not a bad job description. Yeah. Okay, very good. Okay, back to page 416. Let's scrub this paragraph for the last couple of minutes here. Okay, so you recognize this is chapter 19, which is after chapter 18, which is after chapter 17, which followed the disaster roller coaster ride, which was chapter 16, all about the special relationship. 16, special relationship. 17, holy relationship. 18, managing with the holy relationship. 19, we're getting just some more meat. But still talks about a little bit about you and your relationship with another is our learning ground. Okay? So, you and your brethren, whose special relationship the Holy Spirit entered, making it a holy relationship. You took the competition out. You took the expectations out. You took all of the attachments out. And joining actually came in. It's given to release and be released from the dedication to death to an end. In the special relationship, there's a constant threat of ends and loss. And if you play it right, then it feels like a gain. But in the special relationship, it's gained something that can be lost. So it's really not a worthwhile gain for an extension of God. In a holy relationship, every interaction is one of love, one of joining, one of sharing. Even if the relationship was to end, the holy part of it remains forever. This is why our pets are so wonderful for us to experience the unconditional nature of love we have for them. That dog is sharing with you its life, and you can never take that away. When that dog goes, your heart will be overflowing with love. You can never take it away. You got it forever, dude. Forever. It's a really wonderful experience. Okay,
I know we're in a hurry. Can I make a comment? When people ask me how I feel about my ex-husband, I say, well, I love him.
Mm-hmm.
I don't particularly like him.
Uh-huh, yes.
I said, and this explains it.
Good.
Because when I promised to be his wife,
uh-huh,
I made a promise, and it felt like a holy promise.
Mm-hmm.
And when I got through the divorce, I had to go through misery. Because I thought I was giving up my promise. And the truth is, I wasn't.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because you can't give up love. It's always there.
Yeah, it's always there.
Oh, that's such a relief.
Yes. Yes, you're reaching for love constantly. Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. Marriage can get in the way of love. Isn't that funny? Yeah.
Who was it? Yeah, Mario explained that first you have the engagement ring, and then you have the wedding ring, and then you have the suffering.
Good.
Okay.
I remember all that stuff.
Well, that was pretty funny.
It's sometimes hard to follow all the Mario isms.
It's true. You got to sort through. You have to listen.
I can't remember things he says.
You have to really listen with another sensitivity to hear Mario correctly. Yes, it's true. Yeah, Holy Spirit has to translate for me all the time with Mario. It's okay. Yes. Okay. Now. The dedication to, let's see, is it death was offered you and you accept it? Yes?
Yes, so.
Okay.
So
yet you must learn still more about this strange devotion to death, for it contains a third obstacle that peace must flow across, which is the attraction to death. The attraction of death. Ready? No one can die unless he chooses death. That's because death doesn't exist as a natural event. Death is not one of the things you're a victim to. The true you now could never experience something so unnatural. You'd have to dream it. And you can't have dreams unless you're asleep. So you'd have to give yourself asleep. And spirit doesn't sleep. So you'd have to put yourself in a situation that can sleep. Well, it looks like you need that body a little longer, Walt, if you're going to experience more of this. So you can sleep, and you can dream, and you can bounce ideas off of death. That's where we are. That's the game we're playing. It's not sinful. It's not bad. It just doesn't lead to love. It's fun as hell. But then how fun is hell? But it really is fun as hell. Till we learn how fun hell is.
So what kind of death can someone choose?
You can only choose death in a dream. So you choose an artificial end, because there is no end to life, but there is end to, well, a body. We've got graveyard over here. Full of them. Stacked up, actually, one on top of the other. I was so amazed when I learned that at the churches, when the coffin finally dissolves, they figure, that's enough, put another one on top. Because the ground sinks. And then, okay, next. Another headstone.
Santa Claus, you just throw our ashes in the ocean.
yeah. Okay, so you dream of death. Death is a dream. See, death is required for separation. It's a great way to continue the dream and the play, if you will, of separation. Separation is not evil. It can be really fun. The only problem is, it does not contain true love. Or true joy. But it can be fun. It can be a great exploration. But ultimately, when you get tired enough, or when your heart aches for true love enough, you will wake up. And you will go home. And you say, I just need some love. You might go home for thousands of years, so to speak. Okay.
Andrew.
Yes.
Sentence 4, no one can die.
Yes.
What? I don't understand.
Yes, so what that's talking about is two levels, okay? So from this author's perspective, he knows that he's speaking now to the true you, mm-hmm. not the one you see in the mirror. And he says, you know, you can't die unless you choose death, he's saying. And if we switch to the false you, you'll say, yeah, I can die of a bullet or a car crash, or I didn't choose that. My body would just be killed right off in an instant. And then he's saying, no, I wasn't talking about that. I'm talking about your dream of death only occurs when you dream it. He, from his perspective, He's talking to you as an equal. And he was not so long in your shoes. He says, you know, you don't experience this death thing unless you choose it. Because we're so victimhoody. We're so stuck with victimhood here. We keep thinking that our world controls us. But if you're going to awaken spiritually, it must dawn on you that you do control those things, Bridget. And if you find yourself feeling like a victim, it's because you weren't watching as the lever slid over to fear. You could have put your hand out and said, nope, I want trust. And then you'd have trust. I think I'm going to giggle instead. Then you would giggle. I think I'm going to go just patient and wait and see what happens instead of panicking. And then you would wait and see what happens, and then you wouldn't have the panic. Death is the same way. It's something you choose. Now, we're in a mode where death seems to be automatic. And you live so many heartbeats and you die and you're dead. But this author says, death now, the idea, not just the faith in death means death of God. What did you just say? Yeah. But that's why that sentence is there. He says he needs to talk to you as an equal. And he says, brother, as you wake up, this will help you wake up if you take this in a meditation. You can't experience death unless you choose it. If you do experience death, you chose it. That also means if you watch something die and you think it ended, you chose that end. You chose that end. Get it?
You chose to live in your dream, and the death that you chose was the dream of death.
It was the dream of death. And you continue to dream an end to life, making it not real life. Making some sense?
Or the dream of Walt.
Yes.
That's what that's...
Yes. And that script is written, by the way, mm-hmm. that Walt will end. Mm-hmm. As we've read in Lesson 158. We kind of know that. Nobody gets out alive. Right? Well, all of them. Every one of them. Must be a dream of life. Nothing wrong with that. You can have a lot of fun doing it. You can enjoy it if you choose. Yeah. All right. We have negative 2 minutes. Let me just finish this paragraph so we can move on. All right. Okay, very good. This last very important sentence there. Bring it back again next week, Walt, after you've thought about it. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, this is it's a chance to wake up. It's an invitation to wake up from this obstacle right now. Pretty cool that this is handed to us like this. What seems to be the fear of death is really death's attraction. These the fear, you're only afraid of something you think is true. You're only afraid of something you think is true. You're only afraid of something you think has power. You're only afraid of something you think affects you. Personally. That's the quality of things you're afraid of. Wow. So if you're afraid of death, then you think it has a power to affect you personally. We're calling it out on the mat right now. We will for the next couple of weeks. We're calling it out as the lie that it is. To the ego, it's true. To your spirit, it's impossible. We're awakening your spirit, and we're awakening the awareness of your spiritual mind, called the Christ mind, of how utterly impossible death is. Okay, good. We'll continue to work it now. Okay, guilt, too, is feared and fearful. Okay, we just talked about guilt a couple pages back. Yet, guilt could have no hold at all except on those who are attracted to guilt and seek guilt out. Remember, we talked about guilt for so many weeks. Guilt is actually a coin of the ego. You see, it works like this. If I make you guilty, I'm innocent. You bad, me good. Good, good. Bad, bad.
Argue with that, Bridget.
I win. If there's love to be had from her, I get it. Because we just figured out you're guilty. How do we know you're guilty? You apologized. You took responsibility. And then I forgave you. I got double good. I was a victim, and then I'm good for giving. Oh, my God. I get her love. So says the ego. You see, that coin is used. The coin is used, making the world seem real and making it seem hopeful, and these emotions
of the roller coaster emotions in this world when we try to feel good with guilt. It's painful. It's painful as hell. And you know how painful hell is. Truth be spoken. Alright, let's finish this up. Oh, crazy enough, isn't it? Alright, and so it is with death, as we've just said. Made by the ego. Made by the ego. There we go. See, death is made by the ego. Course in Miracles uses the word make and create quite purposefully. When the Course says make or made, it's a dream figure. It's dreaming. When the Course says create, it means it's an extension of truth. So it does not say the ego created death. That means in the Course's parlance, as we learn to speak this language, it would remain forever. No, he uses the word made here perfectly. It made it. It propped it up. It made it up. Dreamed it up. So death's dark shadow falls across all living things because the ego is the enemy of life, naturally. How convenient. The ego is the enemy of life because, and this is a beautiful thing about A Course in Miracles, light and life are in a constant dance. The ego is the enemy of life because if life were allowed to show its colors, its true colors, as you witness true life, it dances with light. Light being understanding of truth. So life becomes a representative of light. And the two dance together, each guiding the other and manifesting life and light and life and light. I have a meditation on my website. This occurred to me in a meditation once, my personal meditation. I thought, oh my God, I jumped up and I wrote it out and I recorded it. Mm-hmm. It's on the, I think it's on the website. The Dance of Light and Life. Yeah, should be a, under meditations. Okay, let's have a circle.
Take a deep breath.
Celebrate your life right now. You are a manifestation of life and light. Like it or not, you're a manifestation of the very bleeding edge and the breathing edge of God. You're it. Life is coming through you as an extension of God. Every moment you make the choice to receive the love that empowered it, or to wait a while and block it, but you can't block it for long, because the minute you put your guard down, love will fill it in. You just go still, and the love comes right back. Every time. That's how we know which one is true. Thank you, thank you. Amen.
Thank you.
Thanks, everybody. Good job.
I just thought of a miracle.